Good morning. It is good to see so many of you here today. It's wonderful to be inside again, even though the outside was great. We're so glad you're here to worship together. We want to give our condolences to the family of Haiti Bihila, whose funeral was on Tuesday afternoon here at the church. Haiti was our church member and was active here with us until she moved to Heidehof. We also give condolences to Nellie Rempel and her brother, Helmut, on the death of Helmut's wife, Inge. Her funeral was yesterday in Niagara Falls. John has an announcement for us today. John.
Good morning, church. Want to come up and give a quick reminder about our community kids programs. They are starting up this week, starting with Kids Club and Junior Youth this week. Kids Club is SK to grade 4, and we have our Junior Youth that's grade 5 to 8. That's Thursday evenings at 6:30 to 7:45. We're asking to remind our friends and families about our community programs and to register online if able. And then next week, we are also starting up our senior youth program from 7 to 9:30. That's every Friday. And again, registry is online. If anyone ever feels so led by the Spirit to assist or volunteer in our community kids programs, please contact Taya at the office. And this information is in your bulletin, and also there is information at the back door as you enter. So thank you.
Thank you, John. You have your bulletins with all the announcements for the coming week before you. Please make sure you read them. There's so many things that are going on this coming week. However, we would just like to highlight several of them. The corn roast, which we have been looking forward to for some time, is next Saturday, the 24th, at 5 o'clock, and will be held in the back of the church. There will be hamburgers and great corn on the cob and music in addition to good fellowship around the tables. The hamburgers and corn are going to be done by the youth, so that'll be great. We encourage you to speak to our visitors, people you do not know, as this is open to the community and can be a way of outreach to those who come. So often we stay in our friendship group with a family or with a family. Let us mingle and, above all, enjoy the time together. The meeting of the Home Mission Circle will take place this Tuesday at 7 p.m. in the fellowship room, not the basement as shown in the bulletin. So, ladies, please attend. If you have any questions, call Janet Zeppa. We ask John and his group to lead us in a song.
Can we stand, please?
A Christian joy to sing, hallelujah, amen. Now praise to Christ our King, hallelujah, amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise Jesus, Christians' choice. Hallelujah.
We have now come to our time to worship. Let us put the busyness of the past week aside and open our hearts and minds to worshiping our great God. Our scripture from the Psalms this morning is the 131st Psalm. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord for now and evermore. Let us pray. Our God, who made heaven and earth, we come with thankful hearts that we can gather as a church family in freedom and in the security of this place. God, you call us to worship you with our heart, our mind, our soul, our entire being. Help us to be still and quiet our soul as we listen to the message taken from your word. We all have concerns or worries, and we know that we can come to you in prayer, and you will hear us. We put our trust in you. We thank you for your grace and mercy during times of trial, and we rejoice with you, Lord, for the hope we have in your steadfast love for us today and for all the years of our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now we're glad to have the children's story feature again. And I see Aaron's getting up, so I think he's having it. So we'll ask the few children who are here. Ah, here come some nice, beautiful faces. And anyone else who feels young enough, you can come up and join too. There's two little souls coming from the back there yet. Great.
Good, good. Good to see everyone. I know we just saw each other, but it's me again. So here we are. Okay, so in a few minutes, we're going to hear from the Bible. Yeah, you can come closer. You can come over here. Come this way. Yeah. Yeah, I know. You want to come this way? Yeah, perfect. Okay, great. Yeah, so soon we're going to have our scripture reading, right? So we're going to hear from the Bible. And today we're reading from the book of Matthew. And we're going to read a few verses where Jesus talks to us about worry. So do you guys worry about things sometimes? No? Never?
No.
Never worried. You're so lucky. Wow, that's awesome. Well, okay, I'm going to give you some examples. So maybe you might be worried about whether your friends or your classmates like you, if they want to play with you, right? You might worry about who's going to sit with you at lunch or play with you at recess. Or maybe whether you're going to do well on the sports team, right? If you have a big game coming up, whether you'll play well. Or maybe you're worried about your new school year, right? We just started a new school year, new teachers, right? Maybe that worried you a little bit. Yeah. That worried me. I started school too, and I was worried. So I know how that feels. Give me some other examples. What are some things that you guys might worry about? Can you think of anything? I don't see any hands going up. Come on. No worries? No worries? Okay. Yeah, Evelyn, what do you have? Say that again.
Peter and the wolf.
Peter and the wolf. Scary stories. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. That you could be worried about scary stories for sure. Yes, yeah, that's a good example. Okay, yeah, so those are just some of the many things that we can worry about, right? So we had a few examples there to think about. And we all have things that we worry about. But here's the good news, right? Jesus tells us we don't need to worry about anything. He takes care of us, right? So in the verses from Matthew, they're going to be read really soon. He gives us examples about why we don't need to worry. So he says, look at the birds in the air. Have you guys ever looked up and seen the birds flying around? Do you think they worry about things?
No.
No, they don't have anything to worry about, right? He says they don't plant seeds or harvest, right? They're not like farmers. They don't have to work. They fly around, right? And he gives us lots of other examples. So listen along soon when you hear the scripture reader to see what other examples you can hear, okay? Now, worries, they can kind of weigh us down, right? They feel really heavy. And sometimes if we have a lot of worries, we can feel kind of that weight on us. And it keeps us from being who God wants us to be. So I've got this backpack here, and it's full of worries. So I'm wondering if somebody wants to wear the backpack and be my helper here. And I'm going to put some worries into the backpack. Who wants to help me out? Nobody wants to wear the backpack?
No.
It's not that heavy, trust me. You can do it. I'm going to take out all the heavy stuff. It'll be a nice light backpack. Somebody's going to want to do it. Come on, look at this. It's a nice, cool backpack. Okay. Mrs. Friesen's going to help us out. Look at that. Okay, so she's going to wear our worries backpack, all right? So it's pretty light, right? So this is what it's like when you don't have any worries. Just a nice light backpack, right? But we're going to put some worries into the backpack. So starting a new school, right? That's worrisome. That might go into the backpack, right? Maybe having to make new friends, right? That might worry you a little bit. Oh, it's getting a little heavy. You know, Evelyn talked about like maybe watching a scary movie or hearing a scary story. That might worry you a little bit. Oh, it's getting heavy. Any other examples? What else worries you? Anybody think of something?
Yes.
Yeah.
The dark.
Yeah. Having to sleep in the dark, right? Or in a dark house, yeah. Marcus, did you have one? What worries you? Nothing? Also the dark? Yeah, so more dark? Yeah, that's pretty scary. Let's see, what else? Maybe playing sports, right? Maybe if we have a big game that we can put that into, that might worry us. I got one more here. What could this be?
Worried about my backpack getting
heavy. Oh, a nice heavy backpack. That might worry us. Yeah. We'll put that in too. Look at that. So this is a pretty heavy backpack to have to carry around, hey? And that's kind of what it might feel like when we're really worried. It might feel like we're being weighed down, right? Because we have so much stuff in our backpack. And that's how it might feel. But when we worry, we're carrying all these things with us. God tells us that we can let those things go, right? So we don't have to carry this around, right? So we might think, no, I can take care of this. Like, I don't need God to help me with this, right? I have it under control. But he says, no, I'll take this from you, right? He doesn't want you to carry around your big, heavy backpack full of worries. Yeah, so we can take the backpack off, right? And look how that feels. Doesn't that feel good?
It feels great.
Right?
Yeah,
I know. I put all the heavy books in. That's all our worries, but we can take them off, right? We don't have to carry our worries around with us, right? So we're going to pray now, and we're going to pray to give our worries to Jesus, right? So all of our worries that we might have with school and everything, we can give those to God, right? We don't have to hold on to those things. We can put our big, heavy backpack down, right? So let's pray together, all right? We'll fold our hands. All right. Loving God, we are so grateful to be here together this morning, and we thank you that you are so strong, and we can trust you that you will listen to us when we pray, and you can take on all of our worries. We know that there will be times that will make us feel worried or anxious or afraid, and when we feel that way, please help us give our worries to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What are topics? Worries, and later on we will hear about anxiety. So I choose this song, Count Your Blessings, if you don't have all that or you get help from somewhere. But first of all, on the list there's two people that have birthday today. Marianne Friesen, oh, she left? Marianne Reimer Friesen and Mr. Penner, he is not here, from Courtney Penner. Two birthdays. You want to sing a happy birthday song?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marianne. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, she's not here. Okay, next. Count your blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. When it will surprise you what the Lord hath done, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with your lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid your conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Okay.
Good morning. So today I'll be reading, as Aaron mentioned, from Matthew 6, 24 to 34. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow? They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not do much more to clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Morning. The text read for us has a particular reference to birds, and Aaron, you made reference to that too, in terms of birds not worrying about their feed, and that we have a bird feeder, and so birds in our neighborhood don't have to worry because typically every day I reload the bird feeder. I will say, though, they are a little skittish because they know Cooper the hawk sometimes comes by and grabs a fast food lunch, and there's a flurry of feathers, and it's not that the birds don't have any worries. They just don't worry about food. They worry about becoming food. The reality of the text, but God does provide. In our age of instant information, we do like to stay informed. Yet if all we do is watch and listen to 24-hour-a-day news reports, which typically focus on violence and scandals, we succumb ourselves to living in fear of bad things happening. The message Paul Adams will be sharing shortly will help us to navigate what life is like to live in a healthy balance, trusting in God and relying on God's goodness. I find it interesting that the text read for us from Matthew's Gospel, just prior to that, Jesus has instructions for us in spiritual practices of generosity, prayer, and fasting. And these are to help keep our focus on God's ability to provide. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, you have worked wonders in the past. We hear evidence and testimony of that from Scripture and from personal experience of others. And you, God, see over the horizon of the future, and you provide for us what we need for today. As we experience climate change, the fact that this morning it's still very warm out in the latter part of September. As we experience the impact of inflation as we go to the grocery store or fill up our cars with fuel. And then there are reports of violence seemingly far away and sometimes closer to home. We hear of people experiencing sorrow, pain, and loss. In our worship, we look to you, both in this sanctuary, but also as we live and have our being. We ask for your wisdom for today. Grant to us courage that as we learn from Jesus to be generous toward others, as we learn from Jesus to be hopeful in our prayer conversations with you, as we lay aside those things that distract us from what's really important in life. Grant to us life of strength and courage for the living of these days. Gracious God, we look to you and ask for your blessing as we seek to be a congregation of ministering to children, youth, and adults, as we seek to care and support one another in our faith walk with Jesus. We pray for the families who have experienced loss, in memory of Heidi Bichler and of Inga Rempel. May your comfort and support be with those experiencing their absence, and may we share with joy for life and love shared. Gracious God, we're also aware of praying for those dealing with health issues, for Henry, for Helen, Kay, Betty, and Helen, others who come to mind from our families, our co-workers, and friends. Hear our prayers for their healing and strength for what they need for today. Gracious God, you also know our need as a congregation in terms of leadership, as we seek to be a people of faith in the community, and as we seek to support one another. We ask again for your guidance in the discernment process towards calling of a new lead pastor. Gracious God, we're also aware of the challenges of healthcare providers in our community, hospitals and senior homes and other places of support and care for those in our community. And we pray for those of Ukraine who continue to experience violence of war, for other places in the world where people are angry and turn to violence as a means of trying to achieve what they want. May you provide strength for those who experience loss and suffering, the stress and anxiety in the midst of it. Gracious God, we seek to be a people of faith, and we share our tithes and offerings for the ministries we commit to for one another and the community. Be with Paul as he shares from your word this morning that we might meet the challenges of our day together with Jesus as our guide. For all these things we pray in his name. Amen. Paul.
Good morning, church. Aaron, those poor children up here had no worries at all. But by the time they left, you filled their heads with all kinds of worries. Thank you, Peter and Anne, too. I'm convinced, Peter and Anne, that you have a sermon inside you somewhere that just has to get preached. You have both such wonderful speaking voices, so thank you for sharing as well. And the music this morning has been a gift, and we thank you for that as well. Henry, for the public reading of the scriptures, we give you thanks. I've already felt as though I've been to church. Amen? I've got to tell you, I put down this sermon title, Anxiety. I'm living with it and could learn to live without it. I have to tell you, I'm convinced that this sermon is going to be more of a confession. That I worry, that there are days when I'm filled with anxious thoughts. And so this morning, as we move our way through this passage, our hearts have already been prepared through all that has been said and sung, and it really has been a gift, and we thank you, God, for allowing us to be in this corporate service of worship. It may be a catchy sermon title, but it's true. How many of us have had to learn to live with worries, not only about this day, but the days to come as well? And one of the greatest things about Jesus is that he does not want his people to be anxious. But I'm learning to live with it. Just stop for a moment and allow your mind to rehearse what it is that causes your anxious thoughts. Many examples, and Brother Aaron has already given so many that not only fit the young people, but some, of course, spill over and touch our lives as well. So many items could be listed. And if I was to invite you to kind of popcorn shout them out, there would be a host of areas in our lives. Recently, I was having a conversation with somebody from the UK, and they were talking about the seismic shift in the energy cost that residents in the UK have to pay because of the strain on the system from the war in Ukraine, and how they worry about how they will be making ends meet, how they will get through the winter. What will happen if our health begins to fail? Will my spouse, will my partner, will my family be able to come to my aid and my assistance? I was standing at the bedroom window looking out into our backyard, and we've got these beautiful, lush, green tomato plants that are supported by cages and these metal steel posts. These plants rise probably 6 feet up from the ground, and they're perched on the very top of this tomato plant, eating the most beautiful Bonnie Best big boy tomato was Chippy, the chipmunk. And I was so looking forward to having a toasted tomato sandwich for lunch today. So now I'm worried about what I'm going to have for lunch today. You see, pastors and volunteers and church leaders, we also have anxious thoughts. I've listened to some of you, and we are anxious at times. I love the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to see this living community, this Sycumcy, St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. I want to be a part of a church that is thriving, that is growing. I want to see this church respond with its spiritual gifts and its services and its offerings of financial stewardship and filling in some of those vacancies we have in our ministries within our church. I yearn with you that God might lead to this congregation, lead pastor, that would be able to mentor our children and our youth and our seniors and care for those who are in crisis and attend. And I'm concerned about that. Jesus spoke these words that have been read to us this morning precisely for each one of us. And it's interesting that Pastor Randy put our text in the context. This is for Christian living. This is for Christian living. Some of these that Pastor Randy mentioned are the disciplines that are to be a part of our Christian life. And the follow-through that Jesus is offering is, it is not my will for you to be anxious. Whatever is making you anxious, let's overcome it this morning. I suppose I chose this text today for myself as much as for anybody else. Remember, I told you this is going to be a sermon of confession. I'm anxious every time that I prepare to go away on a vacation. It feels like I used to when I went back to school as a child. Would I be accepted? Would I have friends? Would there be troubles along the way? Or maybe my new teacher, maybe my teacher will not be someone that I get along with immediately or I'm intimidated by. I get anxious as I prepare for a trip. I get anxious as I prepare for, by golly, this week I am getting my booster. I'm concerned about that. And then I'm going to the dentist. And then I'm getting my hair cut. It's about time, some of you would say. But I'm anxious about some of these matters. How is it going to work out? But my struggle with anxiety is not just at the end or the beginning of vacations. It's during the vacation as well. I wake up anxious virtually every morning. I look out my bedroom window and I see Chippy eating down my tomato plant. Whatever the reason, It's a very real experience that I have, and I have to deal with it every day. Oh, yes, that's right. Jesus did say, each day has enough trouble of its own. Verse 34, Matthew chapter 6. So this sermon is for me. I will probably read this sermon again in a week or two. And as you've heard preachers say in the past, I may be pointing a finger at you, but there's three fingers pointing back at me. But I know it's not just my problem. I recently received an email, and I know I've made reference to this lovely story before. A young Christian woman whom I had the joy of mentoring and training for ministry while in Manitoba. And she had just broken off a relationship with a man because he simply did not take any spiritual leadership in their relationship. And in the letter that she wrote to me, she wrote this: I want so to live a life that honors God. And it was easy to go off for a while in a dream, thinking of being a wife and a mother. But without a man who truly relies on God, it is nothing, only heartache. Sometimes I lose hope and am anxious that there are men who really do live like that. So I will continue to trust in God for what is best for my life. There are a lot of young adults and middle-aged adults who are concerned not only about their present, but about their future circumstances. Members of this congregation have struggles and deal with anxious thoughts too. The issues may be unique to you. It may be your future. It may be your faith. It may be you're struggling with some degree of skepticism. It may be finances. It may be health issues. It may be that sense of fitting in to the community. We need to be reminded of what Jesus is encouraging us to grasp. When you add to it the reasons to give, don't be anxious. In a few moments, I'm just going to massage your minds and your hearts by going through this text of Scripture. But the main point of this text is very clear, and it's phrased both negatively and positively. Everybody can see plainly that the main point is don't be anxious about your life, verse 25. Do not be anxious saying, what shall I eat, verse 31. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, verse 34. So the main point is emphasized both negatively and also positively. There's a positive way found in verse 33, namely, seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. In other words, when you think about your life or your food or your clothes or your spouse or your job or your mission, don't fret about them. Instead, we make Jesus Lord and King in all of the affairs of our life. We seek first Jesus as our spiritual discipline, as our lifestyle, living simply and being at peace with our mind and our heart, and we'll focus on God and the kingdom, living for the kingdom of God, living for the community of faith, to seek the kingship of Jesus first in every detail, every affair of our life. What a thrilling way to live as a child of God. It's full of freedom. It's full of peace. It's full of joy. It's full of adventure for the child of God who is dependent upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, before we move forward and look at some of the reasons why we are not to be anxious, let's all collectively agree we need to repent every day of our anxious thoughts. Friends, this is a hard sermon to preach. As we prepare ourselves for the night, and as we acknowledge those anxious thoughts, what has been shackling us, what has us in bondage concerning worry. But as we move through this text of Scripture, very familiar with us, I want to list them. I want to note them and just make a comment or two. Life is more than food and clothing. Don't be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Why? Because life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. But I love good food. And this morning when I looked forward to breakfast, I said to my dear wife, "What's for breakfast?" And she provided. And when I stood in front of her this morning and I said, "How do I look?" And she said, "Let me change that shirt. Let me change that tie." How many out there are dependent upon their loved ones to assist them not only with the preparation of food and also what we're going to wear today? I think she does a pretty good job. Do I hear an amen? It's good to say thank you to the chef. If you're at a restaurant, thank you to the chef. Thank you for the servers. It's wonderful as we are able to compliment one another on the simplicity of their attire and how they look well. Life is not primarily for our physical pleasures, but for something greater, the enjoyment of God. Life was not given primarily for the approval of one another, but for something greater, that we would have the approval of God upon our lives. Life was not even given primarily for the extension of this earth, but for something greater, to spend eternity in the age to come with our great God. The birds of the air work and count on God. The birds in the backyard at Pastor Randy's home, they depend on him. But God provides. What we see when we look at the birds is not a lesson in laziness. They dig their worms and snatch their bugs. They weave their nests with strings and leaves. But Jesus said it is God that feeds them. And when we see when we look at the birds as a creature who does not act as though God is only a merciful provider for today, but won't be tomorrow, birds aren't anxious about what they're going to eat tomorrow. They don't hoard. They go about their work as though when the sun comes up tomorrow, God will still provide. And to carry on, anxiety doesn't get you anywhere. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to their lifespan, can add an extra period of time? The argument is very pragmatic. Anxiety doesn't get you anywhere. But freedom from anxiety and a peace of mind and a peace in your body will lower your blood pressure, will give you a resting heart rate. Perhaps it will even aid in your digestion if you are not anxious. And God delights to adorn things. I love that text in verse 28 to verse 24. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? I've been just getting ready to prune and cut down the hedges of ornamental grasses and all of the plants that are beginning to wither a bit and some of the beauties of the Rose of Sharon that we have growing around our property. And my dear wife says, "Oh, Paul, don't cut it down yet. Don't cut it down yet. Let's just enjoy it for another few days, another few days." Those daylilies that appear and then are gone the next day. God cares for the clothing of his creation, for the beautiful plants that we are able to enjoy. Unbelievers, the text tells us, on the other hand, they do tend to be anxious about food and clothing. Gentiles seek all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Don't be like those who have not put their faith and their trust in the Lord. Don't be like those who do not acknowledge and seek first the kingdom of God. Don't be like those, is what Jesus is saying. Anxiety about the things of this world puts us on the same level with the world and the world's views and the world's perspectives. It shows that we are really very much like the world, and we want to be happy the way the world is happy. Your Heavenly Father knows your needs. Anxiety shows that we are too close to the world and too far from God. When I am anxious, when I am overwhelmed with anxious thoughts, I'm too close to the world and I'm not close enough to my Heavenly Father. I'm not trusting in my Lord Jesus. I'm not seeking first God and laying it all down before Him, laying my burdens down. God will carry your burdens if you seek first His honor. I love this text. It's such a foolish thing to insist on carrying anxious burdens when God has promised to carry them for us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Take off your backpack, Marian. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. When we put the kingly honor of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords first in our life, the promises of God are true. Amen. When we're weary, when we're burdened, when we're anxious, and He will give us rest. The final thought I want to share is this. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Every day has enough concerns, troubles for the day. God has appointed each day its portion of pleasures and also concerns, cares that we must attend to. Enough already, some might be tempted to say. Enough is enough. Oh, but the text that we find in 1 Corinthians where Paul says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. Here's the promise. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And so when I'm sitting in the dentist's office, and so when I'm sitting waiting for my vaccination, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm not going to crash. God will give me that peace that I need. So don't misappropriate God's allotted troubles for tomorrow. Don't seize those troubles today, because tomorrow has enough concerns and troubles of its own. Be reminded of God's promise. I love the text from the book of the Lamentations of Jeremiah chapter 3. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness towards your people. The Lord is my portion. Therefore I will, what's the word? Wait for Him. Well, I've said a lot, but to sum up, God does not want His followers to be anxious. And so we come to Jesus and we acknowledge Him as our King, as our Lord. And the kingdom issues, the community issues, takes priority over all other cares, because we know that He cares for us. Take your vow of loyalty to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that Jesus is the one whom you follow. Seek first in all you do to make known His kingship in your life. I feel a lot better having preached this sermon. I'm going to close with two biblical images. One that Anne read in the call to worship. I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. When I am anxious, from the youngest child here to the eldest of our senior saints, when I'm anxious, when you're anxious, I want to imagine yourself crawling, walking up, and sitting on the lap of your precious Lord Jesus, who said, "Suffer, allow the little children to come to me, and I will comfort them. I will bless them." The other image that I close with is from Isaiah 49, verse 16, where we have the prophecy of Isaiah, these words, "I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." The names, we understand this to be interpreted, the names of the tribes of Israel were worn on an ephod, a gown, a cloak worn by the high priest when the high priest went before God. God, in this image, in this figurative image, has inscribed your name on the palm of his hands. We are his, and he brings us safely home. What a beautiful image that is of the loving care of our God towards his own. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Aren't we all in the same, almost the same situation? Worries and anxious. Okay, like to sing another song. God will take care of you. Can we stand? We sing three verses, have the benediction, and sing the fourth verse after that.
Be not dismayed, we're very tired. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, all the way.
Wonderful benediction song. Thank you to our music team this morning. God will take care of us. Let us pray, then we will sing the final verse. Into your hands, we commit the members of this community of faith, for there is no safer place to be. Thank you for the comfort and for the care and the acknowledgement, the promises of God. Like a loving mother, you envelop us. We are precious. Our names are written on the palm of your hand. And so we trust, and we are at peace. May the blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit of God rest upon all who love the Savior and look forward to his coming again. Amen.
No matter what